I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to Okayest Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another mini episode. These episodes are our Okayest Mom moments. If you're new around here, Okayest Mom moments are those moments in motherhood that make you go, what the fuck? Like, does anyone else deal with this? Spoiler alert, they do, but maybe might be a little bit embarrassing or, you know, laugh out loud funny.
I always kind of think of them as the things that, like, you wouldn't dare tell anybody, but here we are telling everybody. So, you know, it's what we do.
It's what we do. And you know what? It's great commiseration for moms who are listeners who maybe feel like they're alone sometimes. You are not alone.
All right. Give us your latest Okayest Mom moment.
Speaking of things I usually wouldn't tell anybody, I've been feeling a little bit of mom guilt over this. So I'm going to preface it by saying this, but I have just been like, the days are nonstop around here. The kids go to school. I work all day, pick the kids up, and then they have all their shit in the afternoons. So I've been doing something when the kids get home from school where I go in, shut my door, turn on my noise machine, and take like an hour power nap, like almost every day.
After school?
After school. Before we have to run to soccer or rehearsal or whatever, just like right after school.
Wow. I just don't even understand how you have time for that.
It's very tight because the kids have to do homework. And so we get home at like 2:15 and I'm in my room. And then at 3:30 we do homework. So it's, I'm squeezing it in. Listen, you make time for things that matter.
Huh. Okay. I'm intrigued by this because, well, I guess your practices must be later than ours, because ours twice a week, we have to be at the field, like ready to go at 4. So there's like, oh, no,
wow,
that,
yeah,
just, it
early,
just wouldn't work. It is just constantly me yelling, where are your cleats?
Yeah, no, it would not work. Our practices start at 5:30 and 6. So,
okay.
We have a little bit of time after to like decompress. And honestly, I think the kids like it too. As much as I feel guilty, like, oh, you just got home from school, I haven't seen you all day, bye. I think they like to decompress a little bit too. And then we dive into homework and all the shit, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for everyone going to their corners and not speaking to each other.
Yeah. So yeah, there I went. I admitted it.
Okay. So my latest one was a little bit harder to hide because it expanded beyond the privacy of our home where I could do all of my things in shame on my own. And so my kids have been spending a lot of time upstairs, and like, we have like a loft, which has become like their playroom / online classroom of, you know, yesteryear and like all these things. So it's basically like, they just go up there and they do their thing. It's kind of like everyone goes to their corner and they do their thing and they create page after page of Pokemon drawings, and like, I don't ask questions. It becomes a tornado of a disaster every once in a while. We go up and we clean it, and then like, but like, whatever happens in there, like, is none of my business as far as I'm concerned. So we go to get haircuts, and I never know like where to stand when my kids are getting their haircut. I'm like, do I stand right here in like in the middle of the salon and like watch them, or like, is it okay for me to go sit down? Like, what age are we like not monitoring this? So he's 6 now. So I'm sitting now, and all of a sudden I hear the lady go, mom, can you come back here? I'm like thinking like, it's like, oh, is this short enough? Like whatever, like a typical haircut question.
Oh no.
She takes the comb and she combs the front of his hair up, like the very front, like the crown of his head, pushes the hair back. She goes, did you know that he cut his own hair? And I go, no, sure didn't. Because he had done it. No, he had like done it perfectly so that it was like a comb over situation. I don't know. But like he like cut under the hair. So you couldn't, like, and he needed a haircut. Like, his hair was long. So it wasn't like a bald spot. Like, I don't know. I don't know what he did. But I'm like, No, I was not aware of that whatsoever.
Oh my God.
And so she's like, well, it's, you know, it's fine. Like, we can cover it up. We'll just have to go a little bit shorter than he wanted. And it was fine. But I was just one of those moments where it's like, it's literally in the middle of his head. So either I haven't been looking at him or like I haven't noticed. So the only thing I can assume is that it happened when he was upstairs in like we call it their beat laboratory, like stepbrothers, like just doing whatever they do up there. And I don't know. So
how did he respond?
Oh, he, his typical sheepish look of like, shit, I got caught. Which, like, whatever, it's your hair. Like, if you want to take some scissors to it, like, I mean, luckily, you know, like, his hair's relatively short anyway, and he always wants it buzzed, like dad's head. So, like, it's fine. But it was just, like, I just felt like such an idiot. Like, did you know? And I'm like, no, I sure didn't.
Well, it sounds like he's really good at layers, so it doesn't...
I don't know. Maybe he's got a future, which I would appreciate a discount on some of his services. So.
God, no kidding. Oh, my God. These kids.
I mean, at least he cut his own hair and not like other people's hair.
Yeah, that's good. Silver linings. All right, let's dive into our first OKS Mom moment from you all. The first one is from Megan and Stacy, who were guests on episode 115, Quick Weeknight Dinners. They are the hosts of Didn't I Just Feed You? And they've got some good ones.
We just, like, this May had this episode about my son, like, eating basically an entire package of mini corn dogs, like the frozen from Frozen. And I was like, actually kind of proud. Like, that was a fun weekend lunch. I was like, I cannot be bothered. I'm going to put this bag of frozen mini corn dogs in the oven. And I was really proud because he housed like 16 mini corn dogs. Like, he was just so hungry and he was just loving it. And then that night he threw up 16 mini corn dogs. was a moment where I was like, okay, like sometimes the sacrifice of like convenience foods is not very convenient when you have to get everyone out of the bed because we were all snuggled in our bed and wash the sheets at 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
That's quite a life lesson, though. He'll think of that in college when he's like,
he's off the hot dogs right now. He will not.
I was going to say, I remember a food that I threw up back when I was like 12 years old. And
it's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what was it, Stacey?
Oh, they're those, you know, those pastel colored, they're not chocolate, they're mint flavored, usually nonpareils. They have like the white little, they're round sprinkles on the bottom, and they're shaped kind of like a big Hershey's Kiss. I housed a bag of mint ones, and then that night I was like, ooh, and like all like candy mint flavor like coated my entire like esophagus and mouth for what felt like 12 days, but it was probably just like an hour or two. And I still can barely look at those things.
Oh my God. Did we sell you on coming to listen to Didn't I Just Feed You? Please come. We'll talk. We'll give you quick cooking advice, but also we'll talk about throw up. Stacey, what's your OKS mom moment?
Okay. So I don't know. I hope this isn't like a cheat, but I kind of feel like feeding my 15-year-old, like the whole journey is an OKS mom moment. Like, he was a really not picky eater. I was a burgeoning food writer when he was born. And I felt so proud of myself. Like, look at how good, what a great job I've done. Like, he eats organic. Like, I was hardcore. Like, he eats risotto. I was so proud. And of course, like, I was quickly disabused of the notion that it was me as soon as I had my second kid who was so picky and wouldn't eat anything and whatever. I was like humbled. But, you know, my oldest was this great eater, and like hit his teen years. And I don't know if it's like a big middle finger to me. Like, I don't know what's going on, but he just really loves fast food and junk food and stuff like, this is a kid who literally didn't try McDonald's until he was like 12 or 13. Like, it was, and he was like, oh, like, we don't like that. And I was like, yeah, so obnoxious. Like, so many, made so many wrong moves. And I really feel like in facing how he eats now and the fact that this is a rebellion to me, I've had to reflect back on like all the decisions I made, not just that one time when I fed my kid too many corn dogs, but like on a whole lifetime of decisions I made with him around food and like realizing how much diet culture I had kind of taken on unknowingly and passed on, and like how judgy I was about food in a way that I wasn't aware of and went unchecked because it was my industry. Like the whole, like, what's that saying? I'm a first generation kid, so I get my sayings all wrong because my parents got sayings wrong, but like the chickens have come home to roost or whatever. Yes, it's a that kind of situation. But it's actually great because I have this podcast where I can kind of work it through with this great co-host. And it gives us lots of fodder for content and gives me lots of Instagram fodder for funny things about the way teens eat. And it's going to work out. It's going to work out okay.
One time I threw up those honey Dijon like kettle chips, and the thought of them now makes me want to gag.
I still can't eat beef jerky or yogurt.
No,
can't do it. Yogurt? Also, never eat those two things together, ever.
Is that what made you barf?
Yeah. I was like 8 or 9. I was a Girl Scout. We went camping, and that was like all that was left before we went home. So it was like, here's like, you know, you're like, you're camping. It's like, here's all like the stuff nobody ate. Like, we don't want to take it home. So they just like gave us a bunch of snacks, and I had yogurt and beef jerky and two things like I wouldn't have ever eaten normally anyway. And then the road home was really windy and I puked. Oh, no. And I will never eat either of those things ever again.
Well, I don't blame you. All right. What's the next one you got?
All right. This one comes from Laura. Lately, my 4-year-old daughter, Lucy, has expressed fears at bedtime. Some days she is afraid of coyotes. Other days it's the, quote, daydream in my head that I can't turn off. Generally, it is something vague that smells more of a desire to keep me in her bedroom under her spell than an actual fear. But let me assure you, as someone who has battled with an anxiety disorder for the better part of my lifetime, I feel that fear that can't always be named. So I've done all the things I can think of to help my possibly anxious, probably attention-seeking daughter. We've done yoga before bed, deep breathing, reading books, turning on nightlights, turning off nightlights, snuggling together, singing Encanto together, and having too many glasses of water to count. So on this night, when I had already put her back to bed 2 or 3 times, I was at my limit. Lucy once again told me that she was afraid but didn't articulate her fear. I reassured her that she was safe in her room, that she was safe in her house, and that she was safe in her neighborhood. She looked very seriously at me and said, "But Mom, is the world safe?" And while this is not the first time I've lied to my daughter, it felt like the biggest lie I've ever told her. Yes, Lucy, the world is safe.
Ugh. Oh my God. Don't make me cry.
Oh God, that one. I so just told this lie myself the other day about school. And I have one kid who's very reluctant about school all of a sudden. And it's very hard to say. When you don't know, when there's so much evidence to the contrary that you will always be safe at school.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for that, Laura. Gosh. Okay, next up we have an okay small moment from Kelsey, who is our guest on episode 117, Fostering a Good Parent-Teacher Relationship.
Yes, I wanted to think on this one because you guys sent me the questions. I was like, oh, I need to remember like something really good. And then I was like, oh yeah, the ceiling TV that we did at the beginning of the pandemic and lasted for about 1.5 or 2 years. Our kids, like, they did not want to go to bed, and we were so burned out from, like, you know, like, think about it. Education totally changed. So my business, like, we had sub plans. Well, teachers were all of a sudden not in the classroom anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Our sales, like, you know, and we have a team to support. Like, our family and a team, like, for us, like, my business is like what supports our family. Like my husband, he's home. So it was a big deal. So I was working like crazy. We were like having to make totally new things for teachers to meet what they needed. So because our sales kind of nosedive because people, they weren't in the classroom. It's funny. Like actually subplans, the sales started going up a little bit when like, actually quite a bit for like a couple of days when the pandemic was happening before the school shut down. I think because teachers started going in for I get this. But as soon as schools shut down, it was like, you know, so I was working like crazy. We were sober now. And so my husband is the one who came up with this. And I was mortified by it. I'm like, how are we even doing this? But he got a projector and like aimed it at the ceiling. So we have like the TV on the ceiling. So instead of like actually doing a bedtime routine and putting them to bed, we're like, go in your room, watch this show until you fall asleep. And we did that for like a year and a half.
I kind of love that though. Right. I love the idea of it, just being able to lay in bed and watch.
And like throwing what we called it, ceiling TV.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that in my room.
Me too. I was right, just thinking, actually. My kids have bunk beds though. It might be hard.
Yeah. And mine do now too. They didn't at that time, but yeah.
So, oh my gosh.
It worked out well for a while there. I mean,
hey,
I always felt like I would cringe. It was like, if anybody knew about this, and now I'm talking about it on a podcast, but like, hey,
you know what? We did what we had to do.
Yep.
You're right.
My kids put themselves to bed with TV almost every night of the pandemic too. So.
Those were some dark days.
It was very dark, very dark. Talk about things you don't want to admit out loud.
Okay, we're out of it mostly, maybe, I don't know, and we're righting our wrongs now.
That's right. All right, that is our show for today. If you have an OKS mom moment that you'd like to share, it can be anonymous if you prefer. You can submit it at OKSmoms.com/OMM, or you can call and leave a voicemail. 916-778-0545.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at OKest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okestmoms.com.